We're going to continue with our journey to the most famous story in the Bible, and that's the Christmas story. Last week I covered what Mary and Joseph went through, and I tried to paint you a more realistic picture of what a first Christmas must have been like. And today I want to build on that, and we're going to take a closer look at the shepherds. And you know, during the week when I was preparing, all these songs go into my head while shepherds watch their flocks by night, go and tell it on the mountains and all these things. I'm not going to spare you. I'm not going to sing them for you. But we're going to go to Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20, and we're going to read in a bit. But let me first pray. Father, I want to thank you for this time of year. I want to thank you for the Christmas season. Lord, I want to thank you for this amazing story, a life-giving story, a story with eternal impact for each and every one of us. The story of your Son, Jesus, coming down to this earth, becoming a man just like us, and eventually dying on the cross and being risen again by you. Lord, we want to thank you for that. And Lord, I pray when we look today into your word that you will open up our hearts and our ears to what you have to say to each and every one of us today in Jesus' name. Amen. We go to Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all they had seen him, and all who heard it, were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And again, this is such a well-known story to all of us, a well-known passage. And I think if I, without ever actually reading the story, if I would ask you to tell me the story of the shepherds, I think you all could do that. But my concern is that with all the annual repetition, sometimes the familiarity of the shepherds can cause us to take it for granted, to overlook just how amazing this story really is. Because it's not just a story of God's love for some shepherds, it's a story about God's love for all of us. And if we consider this story carefully, we'll see that it has a message of love and hope for each and every one of us. And the first thing I want to do today is start by looking at the most obvious feature of the story. And that's not the sheep and not the angels. But who does God announce the birth of his son to? Who does he invite to come and see the new baby? A bunch of shepherds. Have you ever noticed that there's only one announcement of Jesus' birth recorded in the Bible? There's only one invitation from God to anyone to come and visit Mary and Joseph and the infant Jesus. And that one invitation goes to a bunch of uneducated, smelly, low-class, social and religious outcasts, a bunch of shepherds. Just let me tell you a few things about shepherds from those days. They were the last people you would expect God to take notice of. First of all, they were seen as religious outcasts. According to the Jewish religious law, these men were unclean. Their line of work prevented them from actually participating in the feast and the holy days that made up the Jewish religious calendar. Why? Very simple. Somebody had to look after the sheep. When everyone else was making the trip to Jerusalem to make sacrifices at the temple or to participate in one of the annual feasts, they were out in the fields watching over the sheep, and very often it was the sheep that they were going to use to sacrifice as well. A modern-day example might be lorry drivers or factory workers whose jobs keep them from regularly attending the church. It wasn't really their fault, but they were looked down on from a very religious point of view. And whatever might have been in their hearts, they weren't able to participate fully in the life and the community of the religious things that were going on. But not only that, but shepherds were borderline social outcasts. Since they were constantly on the move to find new pasture for their flocks, they were looked on with suspicion. In those days, the shepherds were often accused of being the thieves. If something was missing, it must have been the shepherds. And they were also not allowed to give testimony in a court hearing because their word wasn't considered trustworthy. And on top of all that, they really didn't have much contact with other people. Most of the time, they were living out in the fields, and this was not a 40-hour-a-week job. They didn't come home at night. They were with the sheep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. During the day, they led the sheep to the grass and the water. They watched while the sheep grazed. They kept an eye out for predators like the wolves. And at night, they actually slept in the sheep pen with the sheep to guard against theft an animal attack. A good shepherd could identify each one of his sheep by sight. He knew his sheep and they knew him. It's what we can read in John 10, verse 2 to 4. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So the shepherds in those days are slightly different than the shepherds we see now. If you watch Countryfile, you see the shepherds on quad bikes or in pickup trucks with their sheepdogs. They don't travel around anymore, well, at least not here in England. Being a shepherd was, in my opinion, a very lonely, tiring, usually very boring and tedious and sometimes extremely dangerous job. It gave them a lot of contact with sheep, but very little contact with people. I think it was no wonder that David in the Old Testament, the shepherd who became king of Israel, was such an accomplished musician. Because many shepherds learned to play the flute or some other instrument because they had hours and hours with nothing to do than just watch sheep. Does that make you feel any better about your own job? If you ever wonder about what you're doing? Shepherds just didn't have much social contact. Put it this way, you probably wouldn't want your daughter to marry one. But now step back for a moment. Imagine you're God and you want to announce the most amazing, incredible, joyous news ever. An event which will literally change the course of history. The birth of your only son, Jesus Christ. the birth of the one who will be the Savior of the whole world, the one that they all had been waiting and hoping and praying for thousands of years, and finally he has come. And who do you announce it to? Who do you tell? Who do you invite to come and see? A bunch of shepherds. When a child is born in the royal family, I think when William and Kate, their children were born, I don't think they sent a messenger to the factories to first to bring the news. They didn't issue a personal invitation to the London cab drivers to come and visit them in Windsor Castle or wherever they were. I'm guessing that if any announcement or invitations were sent out, they were printed potentially in gold leaf and hand-delivered to the political leaders and foreign heads of state. The point is that you would expect an event like the birth of Jesus to be announced to the most important people, like the political leaders, the kings, the governors, the magistrates, even Caesar. Religious leaders, the priests, the rabbis. They would all be invited to worship the Messiah, but none of them got the message. None of them were invited. Eventually, some foreign kings or magi, they figured it out by following a star to Bethlehem. And they informed Herod, and Andy will cover them next week, but they didn't get an angelic messenger like the shepherds did, or the angel choir, or the invitation. It's only those few poor shepherds, the social and religious outcasts, received that amazing announcement. Can you imagine the conductor of the angel choir? When they finally were being told that they had to go announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. It's as if a famous choir were to rehearse the whole year to perform Handel's Messiah, would then give the concert for just the 8 people that were working in the theatre or wherever they were doing it. Why? Why did God do this? Why did he send his angels to announce the birth of Jesus to these shepherds, to invite them, and them only, to come and see the child? What was so special about these shepherds? Were these shepherds especially religious, unusually holy? Have you ever pondered about this? Have you ever thought about this? The fact was that they couldn't participate in the organized religion. Were they just outstanding believers in God? It's doubtful, although the passage does say that when they got the news, they believed what the angel said and did what the angels told them to do. But there's nothing in the text to indicate that they were more religious than anyone else. Were they maybe expecting all of this? Were they looking to God to visit them? Could have anticipated this in any way? I don't think so, because if I'm a shepherd, I'm probably convinced that God has no idea who I even am. I don't sacrifice at the temple. I don't show up for the feasts. I don't go to the synagogue. And my deepest theological discussions are with a bunch of sheep. If God does know who I am, he can't think much of me. It's probably what maybe went through their minds. So why did God send the angels first to the shepherds? Well, several possible answers have been proposed, such as the fact that Jesus himself is later called the Good Shepherd, caring for his flock. But I prefer a very simpler explanation. God wanted to show that his love does not discriminate on the basis of class or wealth or social standing. He does not respect kings and princes more than working people. He does not value vicars and pastors above the people in the church. God does not show favoritism. He does not give preferential treatment to one group of people over another. His love is available to everyone on the same basis, that when we believe in Jesus Christ and have faith, he is loving us. In fact, many passages in the Bible indicate that God loves to lift up the lowly and the humble, while at the same time bringing down the pride and the self-satisfied. In Psalm 149, verse 4, we read, "For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation." Matthew 23, verse 12 says, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." In other words, God was demonstrating by his choice of these humble shepherds to be the first to receive the news of Jesus' birth, that Jesus was not going to be the savior of only the political and the social and the religious elite. Jesus was not going to be the savior only of the kings and the governors or the popes and the priests. Jesus is the savior of everyone. He doesn't give preference to any group or class, nor does he discriminate on the basis of our intelligence, our education, or wealth, or profession, or the power that we have politically, or the social standing we have, or any other qualities that human beings judge by. His love is offered to everyone who will repent and believe, anyone who will trust in him as their savior. Paul makes the point in his first letter to the Corinthians. He says this in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 to 31. "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." In other words, God especially likes to use people who are humble and lowly and ordinary, because that makes his power and wisdom all the more evident. And when he uses people who are obviously very gifted and powerful, then the result can sometimes be attributed to the human efforts and their talents. But if he uses people of obviously low to average abilities, then all the credit will go to him. The Bible is full of examples of this. I could list you a whole load of people here that we would probably not like to hang out with. Murderers, God uses them. People that are liars, God uses them. So what does this all mean to me? Well, if you identify with the shepherds, it should be very encouraging. Perhaps you see yourself as the kind of the one that is on the outside, that is from the outside and is looking in. I imagine that many nights as a shepherd sat out in those fields, in those cold, lonely fields, with nothing but their sheep around them, they looked over at the village and saw the lights of the homes and heard the faint sound of families, of people laughing, and wished they could be a part of all of that. Maybe you felt the same at times. Maybe when you compare yourself to other people, and maybe you think about your own level of Bible knowledge to others, or maybe you come to a conclusion, well, it's not very favorable. Maybe your Bible reading is not much. Or maybe your prayer life is infrequent. You think that if God is even aware of your existence, he probably doesn't have a very favorable opinion of you. And you know what? A lot of people deep down sometimes feel like that. Even people you would think of as they have it all together. On the surface, everything might be great. But on the inside, you feel like you don't fit in. You feel like God doesn't really care, couldn't care about someone like you. If any of that description strikes a chord with you, then I have good news. Great news. The best news possible, because God loves you. Just like he loved those shepherds. And you are very special to him. Just like those shepherds were special to him. So special that he gave them the incredible privilege of being the first to hear of Jesus' birth. Being the first people other than Joseph and Mary to lay eyes on the Son of God. Being the first to being able to tell other people about that finally the Savior has been born. He didn't give those privileges to the Roman Caesar or the Jewish high priests. He gave it to the shepherds. Not in spite of who they were, but because of who they were. Humble, ordinary people with no high opinions of themselves. Simple people who were willing to simply believe what God told them and to simply do what God commanded them. When they heard the news, they didn't seek out the religious professionals for a second opinion. They didn't get into a room to debate first what they heard. They just went. They went for it. They said to each other, "Shall we just go and see what's just been told to us?" They simply accepted what the angels told them. And when they were invited to visit Bethlehem to see the newborn Messiah, they didn't worry about who was going to watch over their sheep. They didn't get bogged down in debates about how they were going to find one small baby in such a large town. They simply obeyed and went. That's all they did. The question for us today is, will we do the same? God didn't send an angel to give you that news today. He sent me. And he did give his word, the Bible, to send you all these messages. And God is inviting you today, just like he invited the shepherds. Will you receive his love? Will you believe what he says and do what he asks? Will you accept that you need forgiveness? And will you put your trust in Jesus for your own salvation? You don't need to be a genius for this. You don't need to have it all together. You just need to believe and obey. Listen to Christ's promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I pray that you will make the decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior if you have never done this. And please come and tell us so that we can help you with the next steps of developing that relationship with Jesus. Finally, what did the shepherds do in response to what they had seen and heard? They spread the word. They went out and told whoever wanted to hear it that the Messiah was born. Well, let us do the same, especially at this time of year, for the sake of all the others who are still waiting to hear the good news, because it is good news. A shepherd, a savior was being born in a manger to eventually die for each and every one of on the cross so that we have eternal life. And that's what is being asked from us to do as well. Steve mentioned already that you could take some leaflets to pop in your neighbor's doors about everything what's going on in the church. You know what? You just never know what is going to happen. We have two amazing opportunities coming up. Thursday here in this same building, where we have the carol service together with the school, and in 2 weeks at Sims Lane when we have our own carol service. It doesn't need to be that difficult. It might just be that you put some leaflets through the door and pray about it and see what's going to happen. Expecting that God is going to do something amazing. And I just want to give you a tiny little example of that. Ken has just been doing this during the week in the streets here, popping leaflets through the doors in Ann Road and Meadow Road for the carol service here at the school on Thursday. And little does he know, and it's a shame that he's not here, but I'm pretty certain that Sue will tell him. Little does he know what effect from him doing this has had during the week. I was here on Friday evening for the Christmas fete for the school to help out with the PTA, and I had the privilege to have just a glimpse of that, what actually has happened. One of the dads came up to me, and we started to chat, and he suddenly said to me, he said, next week is the carol service, and he was very excited. And I said, yes, I know it is, yes. I'm coming. I said, great, we'll be lovely to see you. And I was thinking, why is he so excited about it? And then it came. He said, do you know this man? He said he lives in Ann Road. He walks two little dogs. And he's been going round the whole week, pushing little leaflets through people's letterboxes. And he put one through my letterbox. And I said, yeah, I know him, yeah, it's Ken. He said, it's just amazing. It's amazing that he's been doing this. He said, and I'm coming to the carol service. So that's the result of what Ken's been doing. 2 minutes later, his wife came up to me and said exactly the same. She said, I'm coming to the carol service. I said, great, we're lovely to see you. So you just never know what is going to happen when you put a leaflet to someone's letterbox. We will have to see what happens on Thursday. We'll have to wait and see if that family will be here, but I'm pretty certain they will be. But we don't know yet what God is going to do on Thursday. But I'm looking forward to see what God is going to do. To the carols that might be sung to the children, it might be through the carols that the band will sing, it might be through whatever Steve has got on his heart to share with the school on Thursday. But let us be expectant that God can do miracles because he is a miracle worker. Let us be expecting that God can touch the hearts of people because he touched our hearts. He saved us. And let us be expecting God is going to do the same with the people of Ann Road and Meadow Road of Sims Lane and all around us here for whoever comes and walks through these doors here on Thursday or in 2 weeks' time in Sims Lane. Let us be expectant and see what God is going to do because he will do what only he can do, and that's his saving work. And let us be mindful of that. Let us be prayerful around this as well. And can I just ask you all, this week, just pray for Thursday. Whenever you can, pray for Thursday. Let us be expectant that God is going to do something amazing. I can't wait for Thursday. But I can't wait for in the new year that hopefully and prayerfully we will have to open the baptistry in the church to baptize people that have come to faith who are coming to the carol service on Thursday and in 2 weeks' time. Let me pray. Father, I want to thank you for this amazing story of the shepherds. Lord, it was your decision to announce the birth of your Son, Jesus, our King, our Saviour, to a bunch of shepherds. And Lord, it just shows how much you love us. You've chosen probably the lowest people of society to inform the coming of the Saviour of the world. And Lord, I just want to thank you for that. I want to thank you, Lord, that you chose us. And I want to thank you that you love us. Lord, and that there is nothing that we need to do so that you will love us even more. Lord, I want to thank you that you accepted us with all our faults and all our shortcomings. And that it's all been washed away by the blood of your Son, Jesus. Lord, and I pray that we as a church will go expectant in this Christmas season to see what you are going to do. Lord, I want to thank you already for what you are doing. Lord, I want to thank you for that little conversation we had on Friday. Lord, I want to thank you clearly that you touched their hearts. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to do that during the week. Lord, I pray for this family that they will, when they come here on Thursday, Lord, that they will have an encounter with you, with the King of Kings, with the Lord of Lords. Lord, and I pray that you will give us the boldness just to invite our friends to come to the carol service on Thursday or in 2 weeks at Sims Lane. Lord, I pray that we just will do it in Jesus' name. Lord, and I pray for whoever's here in this building today that has accepted you as Lord and Savior today. Lord, that you will continue to work in their lives in Jesus' almighty name. Amen.